celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves. Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Faster Utah is proactive about school safety. For more information, fasterutah.org.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. And if this winter that includes ice fishing, you're in luck. Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment. When it's cold outside, that's the time to come in and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud, serving you since 1986, Sportsman's Warehouse, the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Camping in the mountains, fishing in a stream. The great outdoors is where you want to be.
Scott Tolentino joins us on the shoreline once again from Bear Lake with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us.
I appreciate you having me on.
We're thrilled to have you back on the program again. We're excited to be talking about fishing in your neighborhood, and fishing is looking good coming up as we come into the holiday season.
You bet. Yeah, this colder weather is really starting to turn things on up at Bear Lake like it usually does at this time of year.
Now, the lake trout has come and gone. It's been a neat opportunity there.
Yeah, that's just winding down. The lake trout run typically starts about mid-October and goes to about mid-November. But then after that, the lake trout, they're done spawning and they start feeding. And then we have the Bonneville whitefish that starts getting ready to spawn here in another week or so. And that goes for 2 or 3 weeks. And so it's going to really be a nice fishery this fall.
A lot of people think, well, darn, I missed that opportunity already with a lake trout. But fishing is still good for lake trout during these other spawns, too. You're not missing anything yet.
No, don't put your boat away yet. That's what I always tell people. And the nice part is, during this time of the year, you really don't have to have a boat, which is one of the very unique times of the year at Bear Lake where you can catch fish from shore, sometimes just as well as from those fishing from boats.
Coming into the holiday season right now, we're looking at the whitefish spawn. The whitefish spawn, for folks unfamiliar with the Bonneville whitefish, tell us about this fish.
Yeah, so this Bonneville whitefish, it's endemic to Bear Lake, which means it's found nowhere else in the world. But it also is a very underrated sport fish as far as I'm concerned. And it's a time of the year when these fish move in to shallower water and not only feed, but also are very aggressive during their spawning run. So these fish are usually able to be caught very easily with very basic equipment and provide some wonderful table fare. They're not like a lot of the whitefish that you see in other waters in the state of Utah. Those are the mountain whitefish, and they're kind of a cousin, if you want to speak in those terms, to the Bonneville whitefish. These Bonneville whitefish have a large mouth, and they're very big predators. And so they're out after lures, and people are able to catch them at this time of the year, right from shore or from a boat in fairly shallow water.
You also alluded that these are different than the other whitefish we see. Makes it a little easier for processing them, too.
Yeah, it does. These fish, their life cycle is entirely found in Bear Lake. They don't run up the tributaries to spawn. They're not in moving water. And so these fish don't develop the strong intramuscular bones, or people like to call them Y bones. And so when you catch these fish, they have a nice firm flesh. They don't have the Y bones developed as much as the river whitefish. And so you can cook them up several different ways, and you don't have to worry about those annoying bones in the meat.
Not to mention these fish are delicious. There's a lot of ways you can prepare these fish.
Yep, some of the people up here that fish Bear Lake, they just wait for this opportunity to hit it for food fish. They like to catch and release cutthroat trout and lake trout, but when it comes to fish to eat, this is the one that most people like to go after. And so it's that time of year again, and we're expecting them to start running any day now.
This is an amazing fish. It's a delicious fish, and encourage people to come on up. Now, the nice thing about this particular fishing opportunity is the fact that it's a generous limit.
Yeah, these fish, you're allowed to keep 10 fish per day. These fish run anywhere from about a pound on the small side up to almost 3-4 pounds on the big side. So when you're catching that many fish, that provides a lot of food. A lot of people like to smoke them. That's very traditional, but they're just as well prepared like you would any other fish. You could fry them or bake them or grill them or however you would like. And so it's a popular time of the year.
What's really sweet about them, too, is that they're nice-sized fish. What is the average catch size that you'll be picking these up in?
So these fish average anywhere from about 16 inches up to about 22 inches in length. The state record is sitting there at about 4.5 pounds. And it just doesn't surprise me. That record was only set a couple years ago, and if it gets broken, I guess I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people are out there. There's some really big fish out there, and it's, you know, that time of the year when people like to come after these.
Lots of fish to catch. When you're used to catching smaller trout in other parts of the state, this is a real treat for the holidays to catch some really nice big fish.
Absolutely. And the other thing that these whitefish, I feel, are very underrated, because they just don't get a lot of publicity anywhere, is their fight. I mean, they fight just as well, if not better, than any trout out there. And pound for pound, I would say they fight on the order of like a wiper or something like that, where they're very tough and they make a lot of runs. They stay down deep. And so these fish are really fun, especially if you're using the lighter tackle, and that allows you to target these fish a little bit better. And so you can really have some fun with them.
The other cool thing about it is you don't need a lot of expensive tackle.
No, you just need some basic tackle. All you need is about a 6 to 7 foot medium to light spinning rod, anywhere from 4 to 8 pound test line on that rod, and then just some basic small 1/8 ounce or maybe even 16th ounce jigs. It doesn't matter if they're marabou or if they've got a twister tail or if they got a tube body on them. You want to use something fairly small, but just want to make sure that it's fished right along the bottom. That's where these fish are. And so if you're bouncing that jig in along the bottom and you're not getting snagged once in a while on the bottom, then you probably need to slow down your presentation. You want to keep it right there on the bottom, and these fish are very active when they start going.
These fish are not necessarily attacking it because they're hungry for this particular prey.
No, they're just really aggressive during their spawning season. Then they see that jig or lure or spoon or whatever you're using, something small and flashy, as a predator on their eggs. And so they're trying to remove that predator from the area. So they'll just about hit anything that's presented to them down along the bottom there. And so they're not necessarily eating, but there are some of the juvenile fish that follow in the big adults. And those juvenile fish are feeding on eggs, and every once in a while you'll catch one of them too. The nice part is when these juvenile whitefish come in to feed on the eggs of the adults, they're getting chased by cutthroat and lake trout. So when you're fishing for the whitefish, it's never surprising to catch cutthroat and lake trout both mixed in with the whitefish. And so you can hook into a big cutthroat or lake trout on that light tackle, and then it just really gets exciting.
For a young kid, for families, this is a neat opportunity to let the kids have a chance to catch a big fish, something that'll create a lot of memories.
It is, and the nice part is you don't necessarily have to cast out and try to bounce it in. If you anchor in about 10 to 15 feet of water over a rocky shoreline and the fish are in there spawning, you could vertical jig underneath the boat. So you could have the kid let their line down to the bottom and just tell them to raise it up and down. And then these fish will really whack it hard on some days. Other days, their bite is a little more subtle. It just depends on the day, but for fishing with kids, it's a great time of the year to get them on some fish up at Bear Lake.
And again, what colors are the best colors to bring with them?
Well, I would bring everything, but there are some favorite colors, and it seems like that color, there's a lot of people say, oh, color doesn't seem to matter, but I think it really does. It really depends on the year and how much the sediment is stirred up along the shoreline. It also depends if you're fishing early in the morning before the sun comes up or if it's bright sun. And so I always tell people, bring a variety of colors, but black and white contrast very good with the bottom of Bear Lake. But then other people like to use different colors, such as yellow, red, purple, and those seem to be working pretty good. Green has been a really good color for the last several years, and I would imagine that's probably because that greenish or brownish color imitates the color of a Bear Lake sculpin, which are found in the rocks where these whitefish are spawning over. And then the whitefish see the sculpin as an egg predator, so they're trying to hit that sculpin and move it out of there, and that's actually your lure, so you end up doing pretty well. But I always tell people, rig up several rods. Keep trying, and when you find a particular color that they like, then I would tie on the same color on all the other rods, and usually that's the best way to get everything going. don't be afraid to switch lures until you find one that's working, or switch colors, especially to find one that's working.
So bring a good variety with you. Again, a lot of these jigs are dirt cheap. They're about some of the cheapest tackle you can get out there.
Absolutely. You can find them fairly inexpensive at any of the sporting goods stores out there, some of the big department stores like Walmart. You could buy a package of three or four of these jigs for $1, $1.50. And so you don't have to spend $7 or $8 a lure like you would when you're trolling for wipers or walleyes. This is pretty basic fishing. It helps sometimes if you take a small piece of night crawler and tip the lure. You don't want to put a whole worm on there, because the whitefish, they only need just a little bit of flavoring, so to speak, on there. And so a 1 to 2 inch piece of worm, or one of those gulp worms, those work really well. They stay on the hook a little bit better than regular night crawlers, and those are quite popular on Bear Lake. And so you can use your little jig and then put like a little piece of flavoring, so to speak, on it, and it really seems to help some days.
Again, I think mostly in this case, it's more of a natural smell to it. It isn't necessarily predatory for eating. It's more of a turf war with these things, but it has that smell that smells like a natural fish or some type of bait or something, and then it'll attack it.
That's absolutely correct. Yep, these things, they're predators in their own right when they're not spawning, but during that spawn, they become very aggressive, and then they want to move whatever it is out of their area, and so they'll hit those lures pretty regularly. And like I said, it's more than just jigs, too. You could use little vertical jigging spoons if you just want to jig straight up and down underneath the boat, little cast masters or Swedish pimples. If people want to cast a lure other than a jig, they could use little spinners like a MEPS or a rooster tail or a little Vibrax lure. But the trick is always make sure that when you're fishing it, to keep that lure in close contact or right near the bottom. And then you're going to have a lot better results when you're fishing for these fish. They are bottom-oriented. They are not going to chase the lure up off bottom, and they want it right there. The interesting part is sometimes if you're fishing for whitefish and you maybe limit it out or maybe just don't want to catch any more whitefish, you could start casting and just reeling it in like you would for other lures and not running it close to the bottom. And then you're able to pick up cutthroat trout or lake trout that seem to be cruising in that shallower water. And when I'm talking shallow, it's anywhere from about 5 feet of water out to maybe about 15 feet of water is about the preferred depth of these whitefish. I always tell people, when you're out there, you're going to be able to do well. But whatever you do, Bear Lake has very clear water. And so you don't want to use an electric trolling motor. When you turn that electric trolling motor on, or if you put it on what they call a spot lock feature that holds the motor in one particular area, when you're fishing in that shallow water and it's so clear at Bear Lake, it will spook the fish from that area around your boat. And people that are using the motors to hold their position over a good habitat typically do not do very well. It's the guys who are just good old-fashioned anchoring with an anchor and being fairly quiet, not moving around a lot in the boat, because the water is, like I said, very clear in Bear Lake compared to other waters. And sometimes you could look down and see the bottom and see the fish cruising down there. So minimizing any movement is always a good tip, too.
Now, this is, again, a time when you don't necessarily even need that boat. This is an opportunity for shore anglers, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Sometimes, like I said, the water's clear and you're anchored there and the fish can look up and see the boat on a bright, sunny day. Sometimes the guys fishing from shore actually do better than the guys fishing from boats. And so if you're fishing from shore, I would recommend a pair of hip boots or even chest waders, whatever keeps you warm, and then just walk out to maybe knee-deep of water on a rocky shoreline. Doesn't matter if it's on the east or west side of the lake, and just cast out. Cast out, let the lure hit the bottom, and then bounce it and hop it back towards you, and that really works well. Another good spot if you don't have a pair of waders is you could fish right off the State Park Marina in Garden City on the outside of the dikes. Those are big boulders. You have to be careful. Climb down there, and you could stand on those boulders and just cast out from shore there. That's going to be a really good spot this year, but there's still plenty of water, especially for the guys fishing from shore. Nope, there's still quite a bit of rock in the water, especially along Cisco Beach on the east side of Bear Lake. Off a second point, there's still quite a bit of rock. I was out there a week ago just checking on a nice calm day, and
There's plenty of room to spread out if you're fishing from boats or from shore, and you should be able to do really well. Like I said, right now we're in a really good spot with the water level. It's still high enough. We're very lucky at Bear Lake. We didn't see the water drop nearly as bad as we did in some of our other reservoirs, and so there's good spots to launch a boat. Boat ramps on the Utah side of the lake are open, and the courtesy docks are still in the water at this time. I know the state park get concerns at this time of the year. If we get some big storms, the waves come up and splash on the docks. The docks can get encrusted in ice, and they have to pull those out. So if you're coming and you want to fish on the east side of Bear Lake, or launch on the east side of Bear Lake, more specifically, you might or might not have a dock to help you launch your boat. So if you need a dock to launch your boat, I would suggest launching at the State Park Marina and then boating to where you want to fish. But if the weather stays mild like it has been the last week or so, and we just don't have any big storms, then the courtesy docks are still in the water on the east side of Bear Lake as of this past weekend. So,
again, plenty of habitat to fish. Do these fish utilize those rock piles that are out there, including the one that was recently put out there not too many years ago?
So they do utilize those rock piles, but not necessarily as much as they do the inshore shallower habitat. So there is some spawning that takes place over the natural rock pile off of Ideal Beach, and then the four artificial rock piles that the DWR put in back in the mid-2000s. Those rock piles are in, about 30 to 35 feet of water right now, and so they're a little bit deeper than what I typically recommend fishing for spawning Bonneville whitefish. I typically recommend anywhere from 5 feet of water out to about 15 feet of water. And so you can still, if you want to move out a little bit, or if you catch a limit of whitefish in shallower, you want to move out and fish more for cutthroat trout and lake trout, then yes, by all means, move out to those artificial rock piles that are just north of the State Park Marina or the big rock pile off of Ideal Beach. And those are always good spots at this time of the year for jigging and trying to catch trout.
That makes it really nice. There's plenty of places to go, lots of elbow room, not a lot of overwhelmingly crowded areas. This is an opportunity to have your space and enjoy some great fishing.
It sure is, yeah. At this time of the year, all the recreational boaters have pretty much left, and it makes it just so the lake is just fisherman-friendly right now, and we don't have a lot of extra activity going on out there. The people that are out there are just like you and I, and they're out after fish, and most of them are pretty hardcore fishermen.
I know there's been a lot of interest, people calling in already interested in this opportunity. How heavy is the overall interest in whitefish opportunities there for Bonneville whitefish?
So far this year, we've received quite a few calls of people wanting to know, are the whitefish running yet? And as of this past weekend, we didn't see any, but I imagine the weekend after Thanksgiving, that will be the start of things. And then the first couple weeks of December should be very good for whitefish fishing. Those are typically the best times of the year that you can catch them in the very shallow water and target them. And as long as we have some nice weather days, instead of sitting at home and wondering what to do, grab your fishing gear and head up to Bear Lake. Whether you bring a boat or not, you should still be able to get on to some of these fish. Even casting from shore, with bigger lures, after you fish for whitefish, you can start catching cutthroat trout and lake trout. Like I said, the big predators, the cutthroat and lake trout, they follow these Bonneville whitefish in during their spawn. They will eat some of the eggs of the Bonneville whitefish, but they're more interested in the small fish like sculpin and juvenile whitefish that are feeding on some of the eggs that are being laid by the adult whitefish. And so if you're out there at this time of the year, you can be casting and catch whitefish, cutthroat and lake trout in no particular order, and you should be able to do pretty well just about anything at Bear Lake at this time of the year.
Now, I know with the Bonneville Cisco, they kind of disappear after the spawn. You never see them outside of the spawn. How is it with regards to the Bonneville whitefish? Do you catch them throughout the year? Are there opportunities to catch them outside of the spawn?
Absolutely, yeah. So Bonneville whitefish, when they're in for the spawn, that's typically the beginning of the fishing season, so to speak, for the whitefish, which is around Thanksgiving weekend in the first couple weeks of December. And then they'll move out to the deeper water in late December and January. And then once the Cisco start to spawn, then the big adult Bonneville whitefish that just spawned, they start feeding on Cisco eggs. And so The cisco starts spawning in the middle of January, and so you could catch Bonneville whitefish from basically the first week of December all the way through probably to about mid to late February, and you're going to be catching those fish over a little bit deeper water rocks. The rock piles north of the marina, the one off of Ideal Beach, are really good spots. But even some of the deeper water off of Cisco Beach or Second Point seems to be good spots to jig for these fish. If we get lucky and have some ice cover on Bear Lake, ice fishing for whitefish is a pretty popular thing out on Bear Lake in the middle of winter, especially January, late January, and the middle of February.
So plenty more opportunities even after this window. Again, these are great fish. They're endemic, found only at Bear Lake.
That is correct. They are endemic, but they are very unique. And there's people that come from a long way away some places to add this fish to their species list of something that they caught. And if you want to do that, this is the time of the year to do exactly that.
And again, how long will this be lasting?
Yeah, the Bonneville whitefish spawn will begin probably around Thanksgiving weekend. That'll be the very beginning of it, and then it will last until about the middle of December, maybe till about the 20th, just before Christmas time. And like I said, those first couple weeks of December are usually the best weeks of the year. And so, like I said, if you're at home and you're sick of the duck hunts and you're done with your big game hunts, wondering what else to do, this is the time of the year to come up and visit Bear Lake. You don't have to put up with the crowds, but you still have that opportunity to catch some big cutthroat trout as well as these whitefish, which are, like I said, unique to Bear Lake.
Again, easy to prepare, easy to smoke. How is your favorite way to prepare these?
I probably like them just filleted without the skin and then just pan fried in a little butter or olive oil. We typically, in our house, we have a traditional whitefish and eggs breakfast. So we do the whitefish fillets, put a little bit of salt and pepper, maybe just a little bit of flour on them, and then cook them in a little bit of butter, olive oil, have them with some eggs and toast, and it is absolutely wonderful. But one of the most popular ways that anglers like to cook these fish is they like to fillet them but leave the skin on and then brine them for a day, put them in a smoker, and smoke them until they're done to the texture that whoever likes that particular fish. Some like them very lightly smoked, other like them more like hard, like jerky. Somewhere in between is where I like it, and that is a wonderful way to eat them. You can mix it with the smoked whitefish with some cream cheese and make a spread, or just have it on crackers with some kind of sauce, whether it's tartar sauce or like a seafood sauce.
You're making my mouth water here. What type of wood do you recommend for smoking these?
I've tried a lot of different wood over the years, and my favorite is alderwood, and it's pretty common. You could pick it up just about in any of the stores, whether it's in pellet form or chip form. But if you can't find that, apple wood or any of the fruit woods work really well. If you use a hickory or mesquite, that's a very heavy smoke, and it doesn't work necessarily as well with the Bonneville whitefish in a smoker. The fruit wood or alders is my preferred wood.
I know lake trout tend to be a little more fatty. How do these compare to lake trout?
These fish have a little bit of fat under the skin, but not nearly like a lake trout. And so they don't necessarily have that stronger fishy taste that you would see in a larger lake trout if it's not smoked. And so that's why I say pan frying these fish really is a good way to cook them when they're fresh. However, if you bring the fillets home and you want to freeze them like you would, say, a warm water fish like a crappie or a bluegill, the meat just does not freeze as well because there is a little bit of oil in it. And so they tend to be a little more fishy tasting once you thaw those fish out and cook them. So the best way to eat them is cook them fresh, or you can smoke them and then preserve them a little bit. The smoked fish is nice because, you know, it'll last 2 or 3 weeks in your refrigerator, and you can snack on it as you see fit over the holidays.
I think that's a game plan for our family. That's how we're going to run with this. Nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, what's the limit?
You're allowed 10 whitefish per day. And then if you're fishing for trout, it's 2 trout per day on Bear Lake. So you're able to keep basically 12 fish out of Bear Lake a day during this time of the year.
And they're not small either, so you'll be bringing home a lot of fish, a lot of weight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if that's your desire to bring home a bunch of fish, there's some people out there that like to just come up and make war with the whitefish and just let them all go. And they have so much fun catching them. and the good fight that they provide that it's really, like I said, a unique fishery. Most of these river whitefish have a fairly small mouth, and they're after little midges or small flies or little woolly buggers. But these fish can take a fairly good-sized jig or small spoon or small spinner, and they have a lot bigger mouth than their cousins, the mountain whitefish that live in the rivers. These fish are, like I said, lake-dwelling and have a very well-developed mouth, and so they're fairly good predators.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement has been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Don't let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
Be prepared at home this winter season. Keep an emergency supply kit easily available that includes a battery-powered radio with extra batteries, canned food, and a manual can opener. Keep readily available some flashlights and battery-powered lamps, fuel for generators, and extra wood for the fireplace. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
For the latest snowmobile grooming reports and current snowmobile conditions throughout the state, check out www.snowut.com. Grooming schedules are posted and conditions and snow depths are updated weekly. There's also a link to the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center so you can get all of your snowmobile information in one spot. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment.
Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, RISE helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. RISE Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with RISE Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Ricky, my man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't going to catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you. That's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. And he never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
When you look at the number of disasters in the U.S., chances are every area will deal with some kind of emergency in the next decade. And between school, sports, and social lives, chances are you won't be with your kids when it happens. Will they know what to do? Ready.gov/kids has the educational tools and information to make the conversation easy. When the time comes, chances are they'll feel prepared, not scared. So talk with your family today.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
James Graven now joins us with Holtz Brook. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us around the campfire.
It's great to join you, Brian, and your listeners. And I'm happy to be here to speak about some axes today.
Now, one thing also we haven't talked about are the leather coverings on these. These are handcrafted also here in the United States.
The Axor line is unique like that. So we wanted to bring it back to the Americana and the roots of this line. So as I mentioned before, the owner of Holtzbrook in the late 1800s came over to America, saw these new style of axes, took models like the Yankee and the Turpentine, which have been around for 130 years, brought them back to Sweden, and then started exporting them all around the world. So it has this deep connection with America. And so when we were launching the line here in the U.S., even though it's about a 120-year-old line, we added a leather sheath made with genuine American leather, handcrafted in Waynesville, North Carolina, by a company called Axe and Owl. And they do a really good job of fitting these sheets up with the different patterns of axe. And they're really high quality, thick leather sheets. And so it's a really good value, I think, for this axe. Because, again, if you take care of it, not only is it sharp and you want to keep yourself from getting cut, but it protects the axe head from damage and dirt as well. So, yeah, they're really good sheets. So American hickory handles and American leather sheets. The rest is Swedish steel, and everything's assembled in Sweden except for the sheets.
One thing I also do like in your line is the sharpening stones. It has the right grit to maintain these and keep that edge sharp as can be.
Unfortunately, those have been discontinued. I don't know what their plans are going forward. I've seen them right now on discount at REI. So, yeah, get some while you can. We really like that stone. It had a grooved finger notch and, yeah, a whetstone. Or a grinding stone is really key to these axes. Owning an axe is kind of like owning a really good knife. You're going to need a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of some skills and tools to keep it maintained, but it's nothing that every person can't learn pretty quickly. So having a good sharpening stone with a grit between a fine grit on one side and a coarse grit on the other is a really good way to keep your axe sharp in the field. These axes have a really good edge, and they're high-quality steel. But after repeated use, you want to touch it up. Or if you've dinged it up a little bit, you're going to need a file. But again, it's just some skillful old techniques that you need to apply just using a whetstone and a little bit of water, and within 15, 20 minutes, I know that sounds kind of crazy maybe, but I can bring an edge back to really, really razor sharp almost with just a whetstone and this good quality steel. It is something you have to do every now and then. I probably go through about 3 cords of firewood a year heating my home, and a big part of that is making kindling. That just makes my life so much easier when I'm able to start a fire quickly, and having a big batch of kindling is something I have to do every week. I start out with a box and I just fill it up. And so I notice as I finish a week's, 2 weeks worth of kindling, that the edge starts to dull out a little bit. And yeah, 10, 15 minutes with a stone, no file even, and I can be back to noticing it. You know what I mean? It's a little less effort on the swing and they just pop open. So keeping a good edge and having the right accessories. Unfortunately, we don't have our own grinding stone, but there's so many out there. And again, it's just like learning how to sharpen a knife. There's a million different ways to do it, a million different tools for it, finding the technique that works best for you, then just creating your own set of procedures on how to take care and sharpen your axe.
Take your time with it, too. Don't be tempted to rush it along. A lot of times that'll take off a lot of metal too fast. And I read somewhere on your website, or maybe it was in the booklet, there was a woodsman that said something to the effect, if I had to cut a tree in 3 hours or 4 hours, I'd spend 3 hours sharpening the blade.
There's a lot of interesting lore on that. But yeah, it is so true. Having a sharp axe reduces the amount of work, and then it's just less likely to glance and bounce as well. A dull axe is a dangerous axe. So yeah, it's another one of those things. It's pride and ownership. You have something that these aren't necessarily the cheapest axes you can buy at a hardware store. It's something that's handmade using really quality materials. And so it does take a little bit of pride and ownership to make it last a lifetime. You can't just throw it down in the dirt when you're done at the end of the day and walk off and forget about it until next spring. So it's not much. A little sandpaper, a file, a sharpening stone, and most people have this stuff around their house anyways. And it's a great thing to teach your kids or someone else in the household too. I feel just like the axe, it's kind of a lost skill, how to put an edge on something, whether it's the lawnmower blade or the axe.
You're right. Now, I know there's a tool on your website where people can find their nearest retailer as well as purchase things online.
Yeah, so you can find all of that information on where to find a retailer on the Holtzbrook website. It's holtzbrook1697.se. And then there's a button up there on where to buy, and you can find a map of retailers. We do have several in Utah, from the REI downtown Salt Lake. Blade HQ is another really good resource there. I think they're mostly online, but they're based there in Utah, so shipping should be really, really fast. And I believe they have the full range of Agdor axes as well.
Is there any supply chain issues on these, or are they going to be around for a little bit, do you think?
Wow, that's a good question. With these, it's more just the way that they're made and the time that it takes. So we do get a good quantity shipped over regularly. Every now and then it might be hard to find a specific model for a couple of weeks. But no, I think we've had a really good planning and logistics on that front. Luckily, we haven't hit too many roadblocks with that. Brian, honestly, it's the production. When you're hand forging something, you can't just hit a button and produce it. So sometimes I think they get a little behind on production just because of the way they're doing it. But as far as the materials and the shipment, I think we're well positioned for the holidays.
That makes me smile. I'm so impressed with the quality craftsmanship and how they build these things. You were talking about how you built yours. I can see myself making a bigger mess than anybody out there. I watch these guys and there's a rhythm to it. It's really neat how they work with the machine and the timing and everything and kick these out. And I watch how they pound them into the right shape and everything. And it's not just, like you said, a mold. These are hand done. There's a mechanical part to it, but there's also a very personal part to that. Everyone does have a slightly different fingerprint between the metals and the shape and how they were handled and the temperature and everything. It's incredible. And then this is a gift that will mean a lot to somebody. You can accomplish anything with the right tools, and these are the right tools.
Absolutely. There is that connection between the maker and the user and the way that this is created. People sometimes have had complaints about the little irregularities, some tong marks maybe on the steel, and you just have to explain that that's the irregularities. You wouldn't complain about hand-blown glassware having a little bit of difference from one to the other, but they are handcrafted goods. So I do have to say that some of the specs, they might be a little bit off from a millimeter from one to the other, or shaped slightly different. It doesn't affect the performance. It's just a mark of the handcraftsmanship.
That's what makes it mine. That's what makes mine different from everyone out there.
Definitely. No, it's pride of ownership. You get a hold of it, and you use it, and it turns an everyday object like an axe into a family tradition as an heirloom, something that you take with you and find it everywhere from the camping box to the backyard. And yeah, it's just a fun piece of history that really connects with the user. So it's something that you won't find everywhere every day, especially these days with the amount of mass-produced goods that are.
I'm impressed. They're in stock right now, folks. Encourage people to pick them up. Where do people go if they want to do a little homework online to determine which one they want for themselves?
I think the best place to start is the website and looking through the different models. Again, it depends on what the use is for. If you're looking just for a hatchet or if it's something bigger, going on the website at holtsbrook1697.se and just looking through the products is a great way to start. And then if you have questions, we're on Facebook. There's a button to send us a message on the website. Feel free to reach out. We're really good at customer service and making sure that you have that personalized service.
Anything else you want to share with folks out there?
I hope it snows in the cold winter, not just for the sake of selling axes, but I hope we have a good cold Christmas coming up. And yeah, I really appreciate your time, Brian, and I hope this information was useful for you and your listeners.
Certainly helped me a lot. I appreciate you taking time with us. Again, website one more time. How do they find you?
It's Holtsbrook, Holtsbrook, 1697.se, like Sweden. And that's the year that we were first incorporated, 1697. Holtsbrook1697.se.
Fantastic. James Graven joining us once again with Holtsbrook. Thank you again for taking time with us today and wish you the best this upcoming holiday season.
Great. You as well, Brian. I hope you and your listeners have a great holidays.
The most cost-effective school safety solutions, look to FasterUtah.org.
Be prepared at home this winter season. Keep an emergency supply kit easily available that includes a battery-powered radio with extra batteries, canned food, and a manual can opener. Keep readily available some flashlights and battery-powered lamps, fuel for generators, and extra wood for the fireplace. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Bring out the big flies and connect with Big Cutthroat at Strawberry Reservoir. We're setting the hook next on Western Life Radio.
The
The hunts are on, and no matter what game you're after this fall, Sportsman's Warehouse has the gear needed to enhance your outdoor experience. From camping to fishing to hunting and more, Sportsman's Warehouse stores are filled with the brands you know and trust. You'll find friendly and knowledgeable people who share your passion for the great outdoors. So whether you're hunting game or hunting the best deals to get a jump on the holiday season, visit one of your Utah Sportsman's Warehouse locations and take it outside. Hungry cutthroat are looking for lots of protein before the cold winter returns. David Richards with Sportsman's Warehouse heads to Strawberry Reservoir.
Yeah, the water turned just recently, so we're a little ways from ice, and those fish have the feed bag mentality. They need to start eating right away because they know winter's coming, so they're not as picky as they are normally, and they're a little more aggressive, and they're just on a feeding frenzy, so it can make for some hot, fast fishing. The bait fish have come shallower, so the bigger fish follow them right in, so yeah, it helps even the playing field. You know, you don't have to have a boat to target those bigger fish now. You can get them right off the shore from power bait and a worm, different crankbaits and tube jigs, things like that. It's all working really well right now. I've heard varying reports. I've heard some guys doing well first thing in the morning, but it seems like everybody's doing well more in that afternoon time. And yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there with the, you know, the water warms up a little and it's starting to cool down. So with the light diminishing and things like that, they feel a little safer and it'll come a little more shallow. For the fly fisher, the white woolly bugger seems to be the hot pattern right now, whether just standard white or a white crystal killer. That seems to be the hot one. I've heard a lot of good reports from olive with red in it, whether the body's red or just has some red flash. That seems to be one that'll trigger them. Your wine and purple colors will work really well, blood colors. Black always works up there. Brown's a good one with the crawdads. There's a plethora of colors that should work right now.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff. Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park,
visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure, explore Utah, and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
For the latest snowmobile grooming reports and current snowmobile conditions throughout the state, check out www.snowut.com. Grooming schedules are posted and conditions and snow depths are updated weekly. There is also a link to the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center so you can get all of your snowmobile information in one spot. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Travel, exploring the woodlands, the red rocks and streams. He's sharing his campfire from season to season. New places and people with stories and dreams. Through cadence of nature, the wilderness beckons. A song of the mountains rings out through the trees. The voice of the backcountry echoes forever. It carries the message, live wild and free. Wild and free. The song of the mountains is calling to me. Wild and free. In the great western wildlands, discover the backcountry dream.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.